Hey, everybody, it's Kai. This is the Corner Office Podcast from, yes, Marketplace. Here is today's interview. We're going back into the archives a couple of years back to a thing I did with Martha Stewart. Yes, that Martha Stewart. The list of companies and products that she has launched is a very long one. And remember, long before she started this new TV show she has with Snoop Dogg, oh, by the way, called Potluck Dinner Party on VH1, we had her here. And here you go, Martha Stewart.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
I'm Martha Stewart, and I am the founder of Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia.
We live in an age where high-tech companies make bajillions of dollars. High-tech entrepreneurs make the same amount of money, bajillions of dollars. And yet you are focusing on what has come to be called the maker culture, the craft culture in this country. How come?
Well, because I think that there are many, many, many more makers than there are technologists who come up with that once-in-a-lifetime idea like Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs or Bill Gates. Those are rare occasions, rare happenings.
Yeah, but they're the sexy ones, right? They're the ones everybody says, ooh, let's do that. Not let's
well,
make a
there's
little
a lot of young people trying to come up with that next idea, indeed. But there are many, 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 many more people trying to do what satisfies them and actually satisfies a need and a want in the American public. The American customer is looking not only for the next iPhone, but they're also looking for that really beautiful handmade satchel, that wonderful belt, those fantastic knitted hats that the kids will look really good in and stay warm in this winter.
You see a value then beyond just economic in this getting back to basics thing?
Oh, I see a big value. I see a big value in the fact that we're bringing manufacturing, albeit small to start, back to American shores. If this works in a big way, which I think it will, we're looking at the ability to now, again, find the unique, the different, which we are always searching for in terms of clothing, in terms of flower arranging, in terms of foodstuffs, in terms of some new heirloom, that vegetable that somebody might discover and grow. So it encompasses a huge number of different kinds of products. And what we're looking for in our contest, we have this terrific contest. Yeah. It's our third year, called American Made. And we honor makers in food. We honor makers in philanthropy. We honor makers in sort of social good. We in design, in crafts, in style. And so this year we have some very good makers. Would you like to hear about them?
I would like to hear about your very favorite one.
Oh,
because it's only a half an hour radio show.
All my children are my favorite.
I know. But you got to pick one.
Okay. Well, well, I could describe some more than one, just because it's kind of crazy. How about if I describe one winner in our food?
All right,
division.
Good. Food is good.
Okay. So this is a company called Detroit Dirt. And it's Pachon Murray in Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And Detroit Dirt turns the city's organic waste, all the food scraps from local restaurants, garden debris, and even manure from the Detroit Zoo, into nutrient-rich compost, and which is then distributed throughout gardens, parks, making the soil rich again, giving back nutrients to Detroit soil that were taken away by other means of growing. So that's – and she's doing a very good job, and she's being recognized quite widely for this initiative.
What was it about this company that made you say, you know what, we've got 3,259 – I think that's the actual number of nominees – what was it about this one that made you go, you know what, I got to spend some time with this?
Well, she's very passionate. And if you meet her, you are completely sort of drawn into her passionate, do good, be good kind of nature. And she is making a success of compost. Compost is a national trend right now. If we if we could put it on a Twitter meter, composting would be pretty high up there on the Twitter meter.
Now I have to go look it up. Oh man! If I called you, maybe not the grandmother, but maybe the godmother of the lifestyle culture in this country, would you be offended?
Absolutely not. I would be thrilled. I think godmother is good because it can be, you know, of any age.
Yeah, it's age neutral, right? Yeah.
Yes, it is. It really is. And what I've always celebrated the homemade, the handmade, as you know. But I also celebrate entrepreneurial initiative. And I think that that all of these winners have that special something that makes them a successful entrepreneur. And they may have been doing it for a long, long time, and it may have just caught on, or they may have just come up with the idea and figured out a way to make it unique and practical and successful and desirable, filling a need and a want. I mean, that's what I look for.
What do you think, though, about the other end of the lifestyle spectrum? And I'm talking here about, you know, Blake Lively and Gwyneth Paltrow with Goop and all that. I mean, everybody's getting into it now.
Well, I don't think everybody's getting into it, but I think that...
Well, when you've got a website called Goop, I think everybody's in.
Oh. I don't know what Goop means, actually.
Me neither.
But Gwyneth has been a tremendously successful Oscar-winning actress. She is beautiful. She loves food. She has a family. She is she's interested in the home and the surroundings of the home, and she wants to have some sort of business that deals with all of those things, just as I did 25 years ago when I started the magazine. I didn't know I wanted a lifestyle business, and I didn't know it was going to be called the lifestyle category at the time.
You know, that's so interesting because you've always struck me as a really intentional person. And I'm sorry to jump in here, but really, my guess is that when you came out with that first book, Entertaining, in 1982, you were like, here's where it's going to go, and I'm going to build this empire, and we're going to do A, B, C, and D. Ready, begin.
It didn't happen quite as clearly as that. It was much more clear to me when I started the magazine, which was about, 1990. 91. So 9 years after I wrote my first book, Entertaining, and I wrote like 9 books after that before I started the magazine. The magazine made it much clearer to me that there was a void in the marketplace for a lifestyle magazine, a magazine that dealt with the do-it-yourself, the inspiration and the information that one needs to create a better lifestyle, no matter what your economic class, no matter what your economic situation was. And so we started to do it. And then I noticed that it was also a very synergistic business, a business that could involve television, books, internet. All of that could be brought into this lifestyle business.
Right. And it is very crowded now, in part because of you, right? I'm just going to read off a list of stuff that you're doing. And I should say, before we actually started recording this interview, you were on your own radio show taking call-ins. I mean, you've got, right? I mean, you've got Martha Stewart Living, Martha Stewart Weddings, MarthaStewart.com, Martha Stewart's Cooking School on PBS, Martha Live. I mean, it's a lot of what's out there lifestyle-wise is
Martha Stewart Collection at Macy's.
Well, let's not miss anything, right?
Stewart at Home Depot. Martha Stewart at PetSmart.
Okay, you know,
we have thousands of products.
So,
and yes,
so you
this
see my
is
point.
A lifestyle business. It is. And because I've built it into a billion-dollar business, why not, as a Gwyneth or a Blake or many, many other talented younger people want to do the same thing? I think you can fairly say I spawned or laid an egg that has turned into a lifestyle industry.
Do you worry at all that partly as a result, we are as a society buying part of our identity, part of our lifestyle?
Buying part of our lifestyle.
Yeah, we can go to the store and we can buy what you recommend or what.
Well, there are two kinds of people. There are the dreamers who go and buy, and there are the doers who go and make. And I've always recognized that. So the dreamers are what support our company because they will buy the product that they could make if they wanted to, had time to, or were so inclined to, or they can dream about it and figure out how to make it themselves. So those are the two categories that I always think about, the dreamers and the doers. And we've talked about it ever since I started this company. If you look back at our first presentations to investors, it was about dreamers and doers. Huh. And guess what? It's turned out to be exactly that. And we've made life easier. We've made life certainly nicer. And I think, as Steven Spielberg put it to me, he met me on the street one day and he said, I just want you to know
He stopped you on the street?
He did. He's actually lives across the street from me in East Hampton.
Well, there you go. Okay.
So I bump into them sometimes. But he said to me, Martha, he said, I just want you to know that what I think. I think that you have elevated the job of the homemaker, the homeowner, the homemaker. You've elevated that job from something that we all thought of was kind of drudgery to something much more of an art form. Huh. That was, to me, the highest compliment that anybody has paid me, because it is. It should be. You should feel good about making your home nicer for your family and your friends. You should feel great about cooking a good dinner, making a dress for the granddaughter, creating a beautiful birthday party. It's all part of life.
There is a question to be asked here about you and the company and the brand that is you. And it has to do with your conviction for filing false statements in an insider trading case about 10 years ago. You went to prison. You were barred from a role in your company for 5 years. You have since obviously returned. The question is...
Only barred from an
executive role in the company. That is
yes.
True. And you have returned now as non-executive chairman or chairwoman, I suppose. The question is, what does it feel like for a person and a company who is so wrapped up in each other? What does it feel like for you to have that taken away?
Well, it was never really taken away. It was delayed for a period of time. So it was never – you can't really separate the person from the brand. But what I'm hoping, and I think we're succeeding in – is that we've made a brand much, much, much bigger and more important than the person. And that the person, me, is guiding the brand until the next person can guide the brand. What? Just like the great companies, the Estee Lauders of the world, the Macy's. There used to be an R.H. Macy. Guess what?
Uh-huh.
He's not here anymore. But boy, look at that company. Much, much bigger than he ever thought. Same thing with Sam Walton. That's what I would like to have as a heritage. And certainly I'm trying to build a company that is respected, desirable, happy, and productive. And that's really what I'm looking for. And I think we're doing it. I mean, we certainly make a lot of people happy in their kitchens and their bedrooms and their bathrooms and their gardens and elsewhere in and around their home. That's why my company is called Living, because it's all about what we do every day.
I think all I need to say here by way of identification is, Martha Stewart, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, so that was an interview from our archives, Martha Stewart from 2014. Little update from back then, by the way. Martha sold her company. It's called Martha Stewart Living Omnimedia, to a different company. It's called Sequential Brands. She is now the chief creative officer. She's on the board of that company. We will have another episode, something new for you, in a couple of weeks. I'm Kai. See you. Bye.